UFMG Educativa, a estação do conhecimento.
So let's just start. We want to know about, first of all, of course, the concert. We're going to play for Alan Parsons' project and then other stuff.
You want to know about the repertoire?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all hits. The big songs. So.
Uh-huh.
No Hands Guy Against Me Today, Don't Ask Me.
Yeah.
But not Let's Talk About Me. Because I never thought that would be a good live tune.
But
we can try.
You play this, all these hits in the way that you used to play in the 80s and the 90s, in the early 90s or not?
Yeah.
Have you changed the arrangement or not?
Not significantly. I mean, the band is different. When we first came to Brazil and late 90s, it was a British band.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live in America and it's an American band.
It's an American band. I have all the musicians. I don't know.
We're an American band.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Fest. Fest. Okay. Everybody says about you as an engineer, as about Dark Side of the Moon, like the Beatles, Paul McCartney, and I heard something about Stockhausen also or not.
Oh wow. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and not many people mention that.
Yeah?
not Stockhausen himself, but his disciples.
Okay, like whom?
I'm trying to remember the names. There was a guy called Oetvoss. That's Eotvos, Oetvoss. But they're all very dedicated to Stockhausen's art.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious.
Yeah.
And the music, you should see the music, it's all sort of symbols and dots and lines and stuff like that. I mean, it's incredible how serious electronic music is.
It's
so different to
And when you really started, you was working, as I read, I want to know, how did you get to Abbey Road?
I was working for EMI,
mm-hmm.
the record label, in a department that was linked to Abbey Road. It was manufacturing tapes. This is before cassettes. This is reel-to-reel tapes.
Okay.
For commercial, for people to buy. So I learned about sound and tape machines and stuff. So I just asked, I wrote to the manager and said, I'm working in this department, please can I come and work in the studio? And they said, come for an interview, and then 2 weeks later I was working there.
Abbey Road, it was 69, okay. Yeah. And then with the Beatles, you had worked with Let It Be and Abbey Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as an assistant.
Yes, yeah, I mean, yeah. Let It Be was the first time.
Yeah? What have you really done?
Just tape, just press record, rewind, play. That was my job. And a little bit of making tea and coffee and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's what you do when you're training.
Yeah, everybody has to do that. And after that, when you... Dark Side of the Moon, I think it was the turning point of your career. Do you agree with me or not?
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
But, Beatles was a good good thing for my
CV.
My CV, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Floyd was very important.
Yeah?
I did do their previous album as well. I worked on their previous album for mixing, Atom Heart Mother.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a turning point, very, very important turning point. And after Dark Side of the Moon, then I started producing.
A lot.
Well, and successfully. I mean, I was very fortunate. My first production jobs were successful. So I was very lucky.
Okay, but talking about Dark Side, how have you built that kind of sound? I don't know. Because it was really different if you compare with the studios nowadays.
I don't know. I don't I don't know what it is that that I do that other people don't do. That people say I have a sound, but I don't hear it. It's like only other people.
I read something about time that you had used a lot of clocks.
The clock ticking and clock sounds that you hear before the song. I recorded those in a local antique shop. Each one separately, and then by recording them onto multi-track tape, we made them all happen at the same time.
A huge amount of clocks.
That was about maybe 20.
Okay. Okay.
And we probably used some of them twice as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so after that, you had worked with Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
The Hollies?
The Hollies, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did a lot of work with the Hollies.
Mm-hmm.
They were important.
Okay. And Alan Parsons' project came in 75?
I think we probably started in 75. The first album released was 76.
Okay, when did you realize, I am really good as an engineer, I want to do my homework, my own work?
That didn't come from me, that came from Eric Wolfson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said I should make an album. We referred to it as our own Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Our own concept album.
Okay.
And Eric was looking for something that suited his talents as well. And he's a very, very good songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Good businessman.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. He did the record deal. He wrote the songs, most of the songs, and I did the production and engineering. So it was a good team.
Yeah.
One question. How much your work as audio engineer has influenced your work as musician and composer?
Everything works with everything. If I wasn't an engineer, it would be different. If I wasn't a producer, it would be different. But I'm. I think I developed my talent as a songwriter through the period with Eric. He was very good at constructing melody and chord sequences, and I learned from him. He was much more prolific than I am. So he wrote a lot of really good songs for the project, and I was more responsible for the instrumental music. But nowadays I can write a song. It doesn't come naturally. I have to work hard at it.
Okay, and talking about the concerts at that day, they were really different compared with nowadays. I'm talking about the use of technology and the variation of instruments, this kind of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that we didn't actually come on the road until about 94, I think it was 94, 95. 1994.
Okay.
So a long time. I mean, actually, the project was over. The Alan Parsons project was finished. We made our last album in 1990, I think. 87 was the last album.
Okay.
Gaudi was at 1987. Mm-hmm. So we never played live as the Alan Parsons
project. Okay. Why?
Well, you asked about the technology.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to do with technology. You didn't have in 1987 or through the 70s and 80s, you didn't have programmable synthesizers, you didn't have sampling. So, well, sampling came about 1982, but it was very primitive. And we just didn't feel comfortable with the sound we could make. If we'd had an orchestra available, then maybe, but working with orchestra is very expensive.
And when you used to do the record, how many of you, Eric, and how much more people are recording?
Oh, hundreds.
Because so there's no way.
For example, on Silence and I, we had 85-piece, 85-piece orchestra, so a big orchestra.
Okay.
We had a choir sometimes as well on iRobot. We had a big 500-piece choir.
Uh-huh.
it's big.
Okay, and so as I understood, you went to stage after Alan Parsons' project broke up. Doesn't exist.
We didn't break up. Well, we broke up in Eric. I mean, the Alan Parsons project was really just Eric Wolfson and Alan Parsons, just two.
Yeah.
So we made another album in 1990 called Freudiana, which was not the Alan Parsons project. It was just called Freudiana. It's the same people, the same basic structure as the projects had been, but it became a musical. It became a stage musical. It was performed in Vienna, in a famous theater in Vienna. Ran for a year, but then Eric and the producer of the show had a disagreement, a very serious disagreement, and they went to court, and it took 5 years to resolve it. So during that 5 year period, I had to do something. So that's when I got together with Ian Berenson, the guitar player, Stuart Elliott, the drummer, and Andrew Powell. We did all the orchestral arrangements. And that's when we made an album called Try Anything Once, and that's when we went on the road for the first time.
Okay. And how many times have you been to Brazil since then?
I think a total of 5 times.
This time is the fifth?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Do you remember?
The answer to your next question, it was the 11th of April, 1997. I just looked it up.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Where?
I can show you.
Yeah. Here? Okay.
Yeah. We played... I need glasses, man. So we did Porto Alegre on April 8th, 1997. Mm-hmm. Curitiba, April 10th.
Okay.
Here, April 11th. Brasilia, April 12th.
Okay.
Santo André,
13th. Okay.
Sao Paulo, 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
14th, 15th. And Rio, 18th.
Okay. Yeah. 1997. Okay. But after that, you came back
to Belo Horizonte. To Belo Horizonte, I think that was the last
one. Yeah? Okay, I'm curious about something. I was talking about studios and recordings. Nowadays, with so many computer programs, this helps or not recording for you? It's much fun or not? You prefer the old stuff?
I don't get involved with computers.
No?
I have somebody else do that.
Really?
I have an assistant who does that.
Mm-hmm.
And I stick to my, my own knowledge, what I do best, which is...
Okay, these computers can...
I don't get paid to click all day.
No.
It's not what I do.
Okay. And I think your last album was in 2004. Yes?
So,
A Valid Path.
Yeah.
David Gilmour and all...
Well, we've done live recordings since then.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually have a double live CD, which is going to... I hope it's going to come out tomorrow so that people can download it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Okay. What?
It's called Lifespan.
Life?
Lifespan. Lifespan. So it's a pun on lifespan.
Okay.
So it's Lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recorded in Germany last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done quite well. And we've also got a new single, which we'll be playing tomorrow night.
The name?
Fragile.
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 Not Steens. Fragile.
Not
Steens.
It has the same line in it. Fragile we are. It has the same line.
Yeah?
Because that's kind of an idiomatic expression.
Okay.
Fragile.
Okay. To me, as an engineer, have you working and recording some other artists?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
Quite recently, I did an album with Stephen Wilson.
Mm.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Is he not popular in Brazil?
No.
He's hugely popular in New York. He is also the leader of a band called Porcupine Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a top three album in Germany with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did an album with a Hawaiian
Hawaii?
Ukulele player.
Okay.
And his name is Jake Shimabukuro.
Wow.
He is a virtuoso of ukulele.
Okay.
And if you look him up, you'll see why he's an incredible musician.
Yeah. Okay.
And you think, ukulele, just ding, 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 ding. It's not like
not
that. He can play any tune. Mm-hmm. Just listen.
About your last work as audio engineer with Steven Wilson, as you mentioned, he is a well-known contemporary musician on progressive scene as a composer, as a musician, as a producer. How is this meeting of generations when you're recording with them?
He wanted to work. He really took me on as an engineer. He wanted my engineering time. And we made the album in the same way that it might have been made in 1973 to 1974. Traditional miking, traditional playing techniques, traditional amplification, a vintage recording console. The only thing we could have recorded to tape, but we didn't. We still recorded to Pro Tools, to hard disk. But everything else was kind of done the old-fashioned way. And the most important thing was that everybody played together. That's very rare now. Usually you do a bass, then you do a drums, then you do a vocal, and everybody played together. So that was really nice.
About the today's production, with the MP3 and iPod generation, the recordings became more and more compressed with more loudness and less dynamics that we found in the 70s and 80s. What do you think about this phenomenon? Do you think there's a way back in this process?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious that the public has rejected MP3 because vinyl is coming back. And I do not compress my mixes. I still like to preserve the dynamics. And that's against the philosophy of most record labels. You know, record labels say, oh, it must be louder as everything else. But my philosophy is that if it isn't loud enough, turn it up. I hate the compressed sound, and I hate MP3. So I encourage people to buy records on vinyl again, or CD at least. Or even better still, download high quality 24-bit WAV files. They are out there. It takes a little bit longer to download, but it's much better than MP3.
Today we see the revival of vinyl LP. Why do you think this happened? Is because that compression, as you said, or the vinyl LP really have a better sound than the CD? Opinion.
I think it could be argued, yeah, that vinyl is better than CD. I used not to feel that way, but I think since the advent of CD, our ears have become more in tune with sound. You know? When I first heard CD, I said, "Oh, this is great! You know, it sounds fantastic." But then, after a while, you realize what the weaknesses of CD are. But I'm good with high quality files. You know, I mean, if they could start putting music on Blu-ray, that would be great. Because you know, it has the capacity for better quality, but the consumer hardware is not designed for that yet. So maybe one day soon.
Well, nowadays many people can record at home on your computers with pro softwares, etc. As an audio engineer, how do you see the role of the recording studios in today's music business?
They're all disappearing, unfortunately. There's very few commercial studios left now. The big ones survive, you know, Abbey Road, Air in London, the bigger New York studios, the bigger LA studios, but it's hard to be commercially successful as a recording studio owner. It's really hard right now. Because, like you said, if you've got a laptop, you've got GarageBand, you can make a record. if you want.
Last question about the progressive scene. The mainstream media often treats progressive music as if it had died in the late 70s, early 80s, with the emergence of punk rock and other music styles. How do you see the progressive music scene nowadays?
I think it's enjoying a renaissance. I think it's coming back. I mean, prog was always competition for punk. I don't think they existed at the same time. And you either went with punk or you went with prog. I think prog's alive and kicking right now. It's coming back.
Do you know any Brazilian progressive bands?
No, I don't. On the way here, on the video was a band called Skank, but they were kind of pop, right?
Yeah. Here in Minas Gerais, we have Sagrado Coração da Terra, Som Imaginários, the band in the past.
They sing in Portuguese, right?
Yeah. And some instrumental music. It's Som Imaginário.
See, if they sang in English, then maybe I would know them. But, I mean, what am I going to do with listening to a language I can't understand? But I know Brazil lives for music. I know that, which is great. But I'm not really very familiar with any Brazilian music, other than Astrid Gilberto, "Girl from Ipanema." That's the Brazilian song I ever.
Milton Nascimento is a singer, songwriter from Minas Gerais. Often contributes in some records with John Anderson of Yes. Milton has a participation.
They worked together?
In the past. John Anderson in some records of Milton Nascimento, and Milton Nascimento in some records of John Anderson. I think John Anderson even sang in Portuguese.
Really? Wow. We did a show with him a month ago in Florida.
Wow.
So he, with orchestra, he was just him and orchestra, and then we came on with the band and with the same orchestra. It was a good show. I think we might be doing some more. It's a good pairing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
O FMG Educativa, a estação do conhecimento.